Hospitality. I am as well thankful for having my family here. I got married for a reason. Amen. I didn't get married to leave her. Amen. So I'm glad she's here, and I'm glad my kids are here, and we have enjoyed ourselves already today. You know you're in the company of friends when you haven't talked, and except for text message. You know, but that's life, right? Over the past couple months, and you walk in the house, and you sit down, and conversation starts, and 3 hours later, we're deciding, should we get dressed for church, should we go to church, or should just we sit here and talk? So it was a blessing today. I enjoyed it, and the First Lady Reagan over there, she's the First Lady of Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, I said, here we are, we're only an hour from each other, and we got to go to Texas to see each other. That's pretty sad, but here we is. We're going to go to Hebrews 11, a direction I did not intend to go. It was not what I had studied today, not what I had looked at today, but I feel that's the direction, Lord, to have us go. I want to be always the best that I can, myself out of the way, and Him in preeminence of what we're trying to do. And this is the chapter that is known as, a lot of people call it the Hall of Faith, but it is a chapter, I believe, on obedience. Faith is at the forefront of what is here, but obedience is what makes possible that we even know that these people had faith. If they'd have had the faith, well, they wouldn't have had the faith if the obedience hadn't been there. And I often wonder this, and it was mentioned, I always like it, I'm at any meeting that I'm at where I work at Hope Baptist Church under Pastor Sowell, so most of the time I'm running here or there, and I'm a chicken with no head and all that kind of stuff. So when I come, I love when a pastor gives his people his heart as he's going through the meeting. I enjoy watching that. And he has done that tonight and shared with you that obedience, and we heard tonight that Saul, I believe Saul was a good man. I believe he was. I believe he was God's man. And I know, I've been around preaching I've been around it for 37 years. I didn't pay attention for the first 10, probably, maybe 12, it's depending on where I was. But I've heard a lot of preaching on Saul, and that's probably the first positive message I've ever heard on him. Because we go to the negative. Why? Because we live in the negative. So tonight here's positive. It's a positive evening. Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to look at a good portion of this, but we're going to do it in an expedited fashion. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Isn't that a thought? "So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I want you to sit down and in 15 minutes explain that last sentence to me. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what that is? That's faith. People say, "Well, you're crazy." Yeah, I know. And I don't even have to be medicated to be crazy. It comes naturally to me. Faith is which you stand on. It is the substance of your life. And whether you realize it or not before you got saved, it was what you hoped for. You didn't get it until after you got saved and took that little bit of faith that God put in everyone and lit a fire under, then all of a sudden in you was a hope that you didn't know was there. And now your life is based on that substance that you acted on. Go to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to preach tonight just a little while on verse 2 of Hebrews 11. And we're going to talk about obtaining a good report. Obtaining a good report. But in Numbers chapter 13, let's look at another report that you can get. God is a God of options. He gives you options. And the options He gives you are this: you do whatever you want. You do whatever you want. and he will not lord over you. There are some pastors that will lord over you, but God will never lord over you. He won't do it. He'll let you do what you want. Say, prove it. I'm glad you asked that. Numbers 13:31 says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up a what? Evil report of the land. Listen, that was God's land. That was the land that flowed with milk and honey. This was the land that was promised to Abraham. We're going to see later in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham leaves and he looks for a city. Abraham went out looking for something. What was he looking for? Well, he was looking for this. And they said, well, we can't go up, for they're stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Three things, an introduction to this. You can either have a good report or you can have an evil report. Number one, notice three things about this evil report. Number one, they extinguish the power of God. You know what extinguishes the power of God? Negativity. Your pastor's job is to lead. Where I'm at, there's an office above mine. And if I can't handle the problem, I just pass it to the office that is above mine. There's no office above his. You know what their job is to do? Is to lead. You know what our job is? And I'm glad I can say that, because that puts me on your level. Our job is to follow. And the way to extinguish the power of God in this church is to be negative about what God is trying to do. God has led my pastor in the past 13 years I've been there in ways that, if I was honest, and a couple times I was, I didn't agree. But I shut my mouth. And I followed. And you know what? God was in it. Here, God brings these people to the place he wanted them to be. Opened up a land for them. And if they had gone in, great success they would have had. But what did they do? Oh, man. We can't go in there. What did they do? They extinguished everything that God was trying to do. God was then done. You know, you can handicap God. You can handcuff God. So I thought God was all powerful. Once again, God will let you do whatever you want to do. And if you don't want to go into the land, you don't have to go in. If you don't want the power of God in your life, you don't have to have it. If you don't want the Spirit of God in your church, you don't have to have it. God will let you choose that. Notice they exaggerate the evidence, 32 and 33. They're a bunch of dirty liars. They're a bunch of liars. And God called it. God, not me, not you. God said it was an evil report. God, that those are God's words. That's just evil, God says. Why is it evil? Because it was against what he wanted to do. It wasn't that what they said was innately evil. We all exaggerate. Come on. You know, the fish you caught? Everybody exaggerates. I don't have a deer that I can brag about. The last deer I shot, I was 18 years old. It was a six-pointer with three legs. And there was witnesses, so I can't even exaggerate the story at all. We all exaggerate. And listen, what did they do? Well, they maybe said it a little different than what they saw, but it was different than what God wanted. And God said, that's evil. And you, listen, you get to choose that. You know what's sad? They never get to go in. They never get to experience what God truly wanted for them. Never. Why? They couldn't just believe God and follow. They had to have an opinion. And if there is anything that is going to hinder my generation and the one under me, is our stinking opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. If it contradicts that book, you're wrong and I'm wrong. Get in line with what God wants and stop exaggerating it. If you do whatever it is you're exaggerating, watch for the blessing of God. You know what we're afraid to do? We're afraid to live the book because it is so against what the world today is. And listen, all kinds of people say, well, we're really close to the days of Noah. No, we're not. No, we're not. Are you kidding me? No, we're not even close to the days of Noah. See, how do you know? How long were men living? No, I mean, come on. 800, 900 years. We're wicked in our 80 and 90 and maybe 100. You imagine how wicked 900 years is? You imagine what you can concoct up here in 800 years? We're not even close. Is it wicked? Oh, yeah. Are there things why my kids are in my house they will never see or experience? Oh, yeah. But you know what that does? That contradicts what the world does. And some of you, if you're not careful, won't stand on what you need to stand on, and you'll exaggerate what your kids can't have. And you'll hurt yourself. You'll hurt your marriage. You'll hurt your home. Go to chapter 14. Look at verse 36. It says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to what? Murmur against him by bringing up a what? Slander. The evil report in God's eyes equaled slander. God had a plan. He wanted them to go in and to experience all the blessing he had for them. And what could they do? The only thing they could do is bring slander, not upon what Moses said, but upon what God said. God said, you just slandered what I wanted to do for you. And what did God do? He backed out completely and he said, you can walk in circle in the desert until you die. You imagine that life? You think your life is miserable now? What if you knew? What if you knew that all you were going to do, not go to work every day and accomplish anything? They never accomplished anything. What did they do? They walked in a circle for 40 years. God fed them. He clothed them. Nothing they wore ever wore out. He gave them water and they died. What a life. But you know what that was? That was their fruit of their choice to what they, that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. That's an evil report. You've got that option. God always gives that option. If you want to have the evil report, God will let you have it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at a few of these in this chapter. These elders obtained a good report. They had faith that was substantial in their life. Verse number four says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more, what's the word? Excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained witness that he was what? What's the next two words, preacher? What? God testifying. Not you, not me. God. God said, Abel, that's an excellent sacrifice. You know why it was excellent? He obeyed. He brought what God said to bring. God said, I want a lamb. He brought a lamb. Cain brought what he thought was best. And lost out. So what did Abel do? Yeah, he did something that's really, really hard to do. I mean, really, really hard to do. When the sign says 75, it's really hard to do 75. Yeah. We had two options last night coming here from San Antonio. I could stay on 35 or we could go a different way. What's the name of the town, babe? Do you remember? Kennedy. If you remember last year coming through Kennedy, I got pulled over. Didn't get a ticket, but I got pulled over. So last night we had options on the GPS. And my wife says, we can go this way or we can go this way. And then she said, but Kennedy's the other way. And I said, I'm going this way over here. Not going through Kennedy. Learn the lesson. You know why? It's hard to obey. Even though you know it's right, it's hard to obey. I'm 37 years old, and I think it's getting harder. I don't think there's been a day where I thought, boy, this is easier today. It's not easier today. Why? Because every day, my opinion of life gets deeply entrenched in me. And, well, I know more than we were talking today. You know, one day, I've got like, well, in May I'll turn 38, so I'm close, just over 2 years, and I'll know something. I'm so close to that golden age of 40 where this knowledge is just going to dump into. Doesn't. It doesn't. At 18, it was hard to obey. At 10, it was hard to obey. At 5, at 2. And now it's hard to obey. You know what Abel did that was just mind-blowing? You know what Abel did that just raised him to a level that God noticed? He obeyed. See, what did he obey? Just a simple thing. He obeyed how God wanted worship. That's all. Our society's got that one mixed up. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated, thus you not see death. I'm on board with that. I told the Lord, anytime you want to work out that option in my life, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. And was not found. Why? Because God had translated him. For before his testimony, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, excellence in Abel's offering. Now notice the example of what? Enoch, what did he do? He just pleased God. See, how did he please God? Well, I'm going to go on a limb and say that he obeyed God. He just pleased God. You say, well, we need more details. Well, it's the great thing about God. Sometimes he don't give you all the details. Sometimes he just said, Enoch was a great guy, and I took him. Why? Just really liked him. Just took him out of here. There he is. He's gone. Well, why? Just liked him. He was great. Well, give me more details. He was a great fellow. He pleased me. Now, I've noticed this. You're still here. I'm still here. What's the issue? What was it that Enoch did in his life that just pleased God so much that he just took him? I don't know. One day we'll get to ask the question, but there's no clarification on it. But I know this, he obtained a good report. Somehow his name got in this list. Let me ask you this. If you had lived in this time frame, is your name in this list? Would you have done right? If it's you and Abel, would you bring the right sacrifice? Or would your opinion matter more than what God wanted? These men obtained a good report. Notice in verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's the equipping. The equipping. Noah did something really simple. You know what he did? He obeyed God. And something extremely bizarre. Build what? Huh? A boat. Okay? What's a boat? It's gonna what? How do you spell it? R? Rain. Okay, rain. Well, what is that? Okay, so it's gonna fall? Is that gonna hurt? Oh, well, we're gonna be in the ark. Okay, all right, good. I don't know that he did any of that. That's you and I. You know what I believe he did? Hey, I need to build this thing. Here's the dimensions. Here's how you're going to do it. Now, it's going to take you a long time. Get this done. 120 years. Okay, Lord, whatever you want. Away you went. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do. Why? Because, well, I just need to know this just a little bit. It's like, you know, just if you could just give me a little bit. Could I just see a blueprint? Did make sure all the codes are followed, Lord. No, what did he do? He just obeyed God. And notice this phrase. When he builds this ark, he says he prepared an ark to the what? Saving of his house. Notice the next phrase. By the which. So because he built the ark and saved his house, what did he do? He condemned the world. You know what the hardest part of our life as a Christian is? You being different and set apart and being separate from the world and how they think, what they watch, what they listen to. You know what your life does for them? It condemns them. Which is why we don't like to do it. Because I don't want to make you feel bad. That is not your job. Noah's job was to build the ark. Why? He was saving his house, and what he didn't know was that was all he was going to save. But he obeyed, and automatically, right then and there, what did he do? He condemned the world. He condemned the world. Has anyone in the past 6 months looked at your life and saw something so different that there was something in them that struck them? And maybe, and I know it goes against our generation, maybe condemned them. Have you ever had someone, in the past 6 months swear in front of you and apologize for doing so? If not, Christian, there's something wrong with the way you're living. They ought to know. They ought to know. I had a guy 4 weeks ago walked in his house. This is in a really nice neighborhood in town. Walked in the house, looked to the right, and there's a picture of him and Donald Trump. And I thought, what in the world? This is bizarre. These people in this neighborhood have money, money, money. What is this guy doing? Anyways, long conversation, not long conversation. 10 minutes into the conversation, he's swearing like a sailor. And he stops mid-sentence. And he looks at me. And he goes, "You go to church or anything?" You know, I'm in jeans and a sweatshirt and work boots. I'm like, "Well, I'm an assistant pastor of Hope Baptist Church." I knew it! Me and my dirty mouth. There ought to be something about you. Say, "What were you doing?" "Well, I did extra essential oils that day. I rubbed them right on my wrists." "No, I didn't." "What'd you do?" "I don't know. I'm just trying to live for God and serve God." There ought to be something about you. It doesn't matter. Listen, this suit is... This is a European suit from Montreal. It is. It is high dollar. It is a high dollar. You know what that means? Nothing. Why? I didn't buy it. Somebody else bought it for me. I don't really like the way that it fits. It fits weird. And I'm still not used to it. Brother Cochran says, "Brother, you'll get used to it." I'm still not used to it. You know what that means? That means nothing. You can put on the best of the best and be so far removed from God that no one would ever know that you loved God. You know why? The people knew there was something different in Noah. Why? He was building something they didn't understand anything about. But the moment he was in it and the door was shut and the rain started coming down, all of a sudden the light turned on. And they knew. But you know what he did? He saved his house. Why? He was obedient in the absurd. In the absolute insane. Just being obedient. Notice verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what's the word? Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Notice the embracing. You know what Abraham did? He embraced everything God asked him to do. Everything. There isn't anything in his life where you find that Abraham is in opposition to God. Go to verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said that In Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He embraced the fact of what God was trying to get him to do, and he obeyed. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Abraham had no clue to what the final destination of his life was going to be. Did he make mistakes? Oh, yeah. He had one day listened to his wife. That didn't turn out real good. Got Ishmael out of that mess. But he kept serving God, and he was faithful to God, and he kept, I can't even imagine God coming and saying, hey, I literally want you to take your son up and offer him on an altar. Can't imagine it. What did he do? He takes him up and offers him up. What is it? Obedience. Nothing more, nothing less. God wants simple obedience in anything he asks you to do. Whether it's an ark, whether it's an offering, whatever it is God's asking, that's what he expects. Our problem is we have too much opinion. We want to write God in our blog. Lord, did you read my blog today? No, he didn't. God, did you see my Facebook post? No, he didn't. God, did you read my tweet? No, he didn't. You know what he wants? Obedience. He's written you all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. Did you read it today? Did you get into it today? Did it speak to you today? It spoke to me so much today, I shot him a verse today. Why? Man, I was excited. Why? That book is alive, and if you read it, God will speak to you. And it's just simple obedience. See, we look at missionaries. I saw Mike Dobbins was here not too long ago. I love Brother Dobbins. Brother Dobbins is one of those missionaries that when I was a teenager impacted my life, which makes him old. You know what obedience is? Obedience is just going to Zambia, Africa, which for me and you go, whoa, can't even fathom that. But for Brother Dobbins, it's no big deal. No big deal. Why? It's just obedience. That's how he looks at it. And you'll never go anywhere in your life for God if you won't do simple little things of obedience right here. You don't have to worry about being called to Africa if you can't obey God right here. Because it's never going to happen. If you're up at night worried about it, don't. No worries. God's not calling you to Africa if you can't obey right here. If you're not passing out tracts here, why would God call you? Why? He wouldn't. Listen, I know this. There was something in Noah's life that God knew if he approached Noah and said, hey, I need you to build me something, that Noah would do it. God knew about Abraham that if he said, I want you to go here, where? There. Well, where is that? Well, it's over by that thing. You take a right by the tree. Then you're going to hang a left around the ocean. No clue of where he was going, but you know what God knew about Abraham? That Abraham would obey in the bizarre. Notice verse 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I see an endowment here. An endowment here. Isaac was blessed. Why? Because he was trying to help his sons and what was to come. Now, the hard thing about our Bible is we know the ends of the story. So we know Jacob and Esau. We know the whole mess. But isn't it interesting that God still puts him in here? It's like he said, you know, Saul, you know who he was. Wasn't it interesting that God kept him in the book? Isn't that interesting? Why do you suppose? Well, there's probably something you ought to learn. There's probably some things you need to notice. And what I notice about Isaac is this, is he was obedient. Blessed his boys about what? About what was to come. You know what the boys knew? They knew who God was, and they knew who God was because of who their dad was. Now, both of them had to find out on their own who their God was and how they were going to serve him. And Esau's life is no great example of that for sure. And Jacob's life isn't much better than that. But Isaac is here of that blessing that comes from a dad who loves God. Billy Graham said this, the greatest legacy one can pass to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. I look at my dad, and my dad is, he's old now. He is. Saw it about a year and a half ago. And I don't look forward to the day where he's not here. But you know what my dad taught me? He taught me how to love God. And he taught me how just to go. Just to do. He's got a scan coming up here in another month to find out whether the cancer treatments worked or not. We think they did. You know what he never quit doing? He hasn't quit preaching. He hasn't quit going. He hasn't quit doing. Just loving God. Say, what has he done for God? Oh, I don't know. You could probably add it up. You could probably look at this or that or, you know, whatever the accomplishments humanly may be. But I know this. He loves God. He hadn't quit. He's just pushing. So you know what that makes me want to do? Makes me want to love God. God's never wronged me. God's never left me. And I got six other siblings that feel the same way. Why do you suppose that is? Well, Dad never made excuse. Never, still doesn't. Doesn't make excuse. Just loves God. He's a hard worker. I think he goes harder than he should, but whatever. I'd rather him go than sit. And that's what he's doing. And that's what Jacob and Esau saw out of their dad. Now, once again, the issue is this. We know all the ins and outs of the story. But what they knew is Dad loved God. And he pushed that on his sons. You say, you think you ought to push it on your kids? Oh, yeah. If you don't push God on your kids, the world will push the devil on them. You choose. I had a parent tell me years ago, well, I'm afraid if I put too much spiritual pressure on them that they may run into the world. I said, imagine if you put no pressure at all what they're going to do. They're gone, pal. Just go ahead and sign off on it. Put some pressure on them, Dad. They can handle it. Notice verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, what did he do? He blessed both the sons of Joseph. Then notice the next word, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Go to Psalm chapter 40. Obedience is how you obtain a good report. What does God want for you these next few days? You know what he wants? He wants obedience. He wants you to simply listen. He wants you to maybe change some things in your life. He wants you to maybe tweak some things in your life. But he wants more than anything else for you to be honest about where you're at. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you've been the past three months, 6 months, a year. I don't know. Maybe the past year has not been good. I don't know. But whatever it is, just be obedient. Listen. Say, well, what if God asked me to build an ark? Well, if he asked you to build one, he must think you can. Psalm chapter 40. You want to worship God? Here's a good way to do it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he what? Inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know what that is? That is David worshiping God. And this old man blessing the two sons of Joseph. What did he do? He worshiped the God that had always been faithful to him. Even in the moments, he wasn't faithful to God. And if you look back on your life, there are plenty of moments where God has been more faithful than you. Notice verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know what I see here? I see exclusion. You know what Moses did? Moses had the opportunity to have literally everything the world could give. Everything. Everything was there for him. He was the son of Pharaoh. And what did he do? He set it off to the side, and he did what God wanted him to do. Now, here's our issue again. We know the whole story. We know how he got into the desert. And sometimes that's a bother to us. Well, he's a murderer. Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. It doesn't say your name there. It says Moses' name there. And if God, we were talking about this earlier today, you know what our problem is? We don't even believe the book we're holding. If God said Moses right there, then that's who he meant to put there. And if he is in there, then follow the example that is in there. What did he do? He obeyed. He obeyed what God wanted. Say, well, what are you trying to say? You need to obey. At what age did that start? I don't know. Moses is what? He's about 80-something in the desert, isn't he? By the time he gets around to really doing something for the Lord? There's no age limit on obedience. No age limit on obedience. But Moses refused what? He refused to be associated with the world. Notice verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. You know what Rahab did? She did a really simple thing. She believed that when Israel got there, that they were going to conquer Jericho and she was going to die. And she obeyed what God needed done. Simply obeyed. Martin Luther said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. You know what faith is? Faith is evidence of your obedience. If people were to say of you, that's a faithful man, that's a faithful lady, you know why they can say it? Because they've simply seen obedience in your life. Time and time and time and time again. You know people right now in your mind. I could name people for you. They've been faithful. My dad's deacon has been faithful since I was 8 years old. This year, that'd be 30 years. He has been there and just been faithful and backed him and stood with him in good and in bad. But you know what I know about him? He's obedient. He's obedient to what God wants him to do. Are you obedient? Will you be obedient? And here's another issue we have. We sit and we listen to preaching and we get used to sitting and listening to preaching. But what will you do with what you hear? Will you be obedient to what God wants you to do? Will you change what God wants changed? A lot of times we look at ourselves and we don't think we're that bad off. But if God thinks you're that bad off, might I remind you that you're that bad off? Verse 32, he said, What shall I more say? But yet he does. For the time would fail me to tell you to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. There's a statement. God said the world wasn't even worthy of these people to walk on it. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. You know what they're called? They were called the Waldensians. They were called the Pauliceans. That were slaughtered by the thousands by the Catholic Church. Where were they? Well, some of them were burned en masse in caves that they were hiding in to get away from them. You know what God said? world wasn't even worthy of them to walk on it. And these all, having obtained a what? A good report. How do they do it? Through faith. Received not the promise. These multitudes, through faith, this world was not worthy to be around. What did God do? Well, God provided something. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know what God did? God provided you and I something better. He did. Way better. Way better. Why? My life isn't even close to as difficult as theirs was. Why? Well, because they did all those things, verse 32 through 37. I hold a book tonight because some of those people died. Because people shed blood. I'm not worried about dying for holding this book. But there were people that watched their wives murdered and raped in front of them before they were killed themselves. Why? Because they had this book hidden in a mantle of their home. Obedience. And I often wonder, would I be that obedient? Would I be a warm brat to sit in prison because I had this book? Would I uphold this book if they threatened to kill my kids? See, it's not just the faith. It's the obedience that comes with the faith. The faith of the elders was demonstrated by their actions. You know a saying. It's called actions speak louder than words. Benjamin Franklin said it this way, well done is better than well said. The Africans say this, when deeds speak, words are nothing. The Jews put it this way, do not be wise in words, be wise in deeds. The French say it this way, the first step binds one to the second. The Chinese say it this way, talk doesn't cook rice. You know what God wants to see? He wants to see obedience. Noah could have said all day long, yep, Lord, I'll build you that ark. Lord comes back a month later, Noah, you working on that ark yet? Well, Lord, we're just sitting, kind of getting our whole material list together, trying to figure out what it is that we're going to do. You know what God wants? God wants obedience. The Arabians say this, a promise is a cloud, fulfillment is rain. And the Spanish say it this way, every man is the son of his actions. When God looks down on you, what does he see? Does he see a person, a Christian, that if he was going to make an addition to Hebrews chapter 11, would he put you in? Has your life not been of faith, but of obedience? Is it faith? Yeah, it is. But the obedience made you and I see the faith. I know that Noah was a man of faith. Why? Because of the ark. I know that Abraham was a man of faith. Why? Because he followed God wherever God took him. What does God know? And more importantly, what do people around you know? Are you a man or a woman of faith? Which automatically means this, you're a man or a woman of obedience. Without the obedience, you never have the faith. You never see the faith. We could sit around all day and talk about the faith. And that's great, wonderful. But what action is put behind it? And that's what God wants to see. Father, we are thankful for your book tonight. Thankful, Father, that we have the opportunity to be obedient to you. God, I pray in these next few days as we sit and hear preaching, God, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be settled around the fact, God, that we're going to do something. May we be hearers of the word, but God, more importantly, may we be doers of your word. Speak to us now, Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you would entrench these things that we've heard tonight into our hearts. Draw us a little bit closer to you. God, I pray that you'd speak to